right. Marcus, you mind scribing today?
No, that's fine.
Great, thanks. Okay, so agenda is here. We have on the agenda today reserve words, keywords in JSON-LD, probing of unlinked objects, IRI conflicts when compacting and expanding, specifying the active context for compaction, whether or not we minimize a context when compacting, and then what we're doing with what we are calling normalized representation. But recently it's become evident that we probably need a different term for that. So any updates or changes to the agenda before we begin?
Marcus, you can go ahead first.
I would just like to briefly discuss again issue 87 because Greg reopened that issue that was about expansion at the beginning.
Which issue was it again? Sorry.
87. So it was about the clarification about the expansion, which we talked about last time.
Okay. First up, you want to put that first on the agenda?
Yeah, if possible.
I think we can probably bang that out pretty quickly.
Okay. All right. So
there's also related to that was another one on double. Which one was that?
Enough precision, that one.
Yeah, it's where we decided that anything that is coerced to double will have, or, let's see, we'll use the 1.16%, and that left some ambiguity because it says anything. It probably meant any numeric type, but does anyone have the number of that one?
Yeah, it's 81, is that right, Marcus?
81, I just posted it in IRC.
Oh, okay, great. 81. Yeah.
All right, so we'll do that second. So issue 87 is clarification of set and expansion. Marcus or Greg, do you want to, I guess, Greg, you reopened it. What's going on with this one?
Yeah, so the resolution basically, let me try to refresh myself. So given that on float, or rather on double, when we are coercing to double,
Hold on.
This one came after 81, so maybe we should talk about 81 first.
Okay.
Because it was based upon the reasoning of 81 that it made me relook at 87.
Okay, so let's do 87.
Okay, so just a quick question about 87 then.
Sure.
When we expand, is the thing that is returned, is that at the top level an object or an array, or does that depend on the input?
I believe the way that Dave Lane's described it in the test specs, and I think which is most consistent, is that the top level object is enclosed in an array.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But I think we didn't specify that anywhere.
We said everything is enclosed in an array, I think. Exactly what the wording was. What do we say?
Okay. If you see the top object as a value as well, then it applies to that, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so are we... Marcus, did that somewhat address your issue? Are we discussing issue 81 now, or?
Yeah, that was my question about issue 87, so the last remaining question about that.
Oh, okay, so that answers that resolves issue 87 then?
Let's come back to 87. Let's come back to 87. Let's just talk about 81.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
So the resolution we had for 81 was convert all values coerced to XSD doubles to strings using the C syntax formula of 1.16E.
Mm-hmm.
So all values is pretty broad there. So the string foo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I summarized like more or less what I thought what I thought should be done here. So basically, if foo was coerced to double, it would be represented just with the value of string foo.
Mm-hmm.
True would be a string true. A date would be the date string without a little bit of foo that I put in there apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And as Dave pointed out, anything that's already in a object representation is not changed at all.
Mm-hmm.
A number is going to be represented using 1.16, as I indicated in my second
mm-hmm.
thing there. So that would go for anything whose, I guess, where the was a, either a string or a numeric value where all of the elements were made up of digits 0 to 9 and decimal point.
Right. Okay. What about, let's see. I see something in here for 1.1E0.
Yes, and E, right, of either case,
okay.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. The other, I guess, short bit that's somewhat related to this, Dave Longley and I had a conversation about how we do automatic coercion. And based on the resolution that we made last week, I think we had an unintended consequence from it. So we basically said that numbers are kept as is. Like, we don't do any sort of automatic coercion. So if you had an expanded value at value 5 and then the type was XSD integer, when you went to compact, if you actually read the resolutions we made, that value would not be touched. You'd still have at value 5 and then XSD foo in compacted form, right? Now, the problem with that is that there's absolutely no way now to go from a string that or from a number that is represented as a string in any form. Let's say you get a number represented as a string like foaf colon age, and then you get the string 5. Even if there is a coercion rule for foaf name to XSD integer, when you compact it, that conversion will not be made. Did that make sense?
Well, what you said made sense, but yeah, I am also concerned about the implication of that.
Yeah. So I don't think that we ever intended that to be the case, right? I think we intended when you compact something, you probably want it migrated over to the JSON primitive type. So you want anything that's an XSD integer to be, when it's compacted, to be changed to a number. You may or may not want that for doubles. You may or may not want that for Boolean. So what we thought is maybe what we should do is put a flag on the API that says whether or not you want to also migrate data to primitive types when you compact. And then we pick some kind of go ahead, Marcus.
It's like, did the resolution of last week really affect that? I think that's what we are doing right now. If it's an integer, we can safely convert it back to a native type, and if it's a double as well, it's just with decimal or those other types that are tricky. Because we don't, like, the XSD data space, or how do you call it, the value space is not bigger than JSON's value space, so we don't lose any precision when we convert it back.
Well, so there's an issue with doubles that where you can, for really really small numbers or really large parts that are part of the exponent, you will almost always lose data because
different
implementations.
No.
Well, if you convert to a native type, sorry, so let's say you've got an implementation in C, and you convert the double to C and then back into JSON, and let's say you do that on a big Indian machine and then another one on a little Indian machine, that number that you get back could change. The smallest representation of that number could change.
I think we specified it as a 64-bit double, so that would make it like kind of unambiguous, isn't?
But I guess the point is that you can still lose precision, and on things like, let's say you're sending a probe to Pluto, that kind of stuff really matters. So we want to
yep.
make sure that we don't accidentally introduce we don't accidentally introduce error because of the way that the automatic conversion happens. We want people to really know that they're converting to a primitive type and that there are dangers with doing that, and maybe not do that automatically for people. So really the doubles are what I'm presenting is there are two separate issues. One of them is this double issue, and we need to deal with it. The other issue is we seem to have made a decision that reads like we don't do automatic type conversion to primitives when you compact. So if you had 5 to string and then it was supposed to be type chorus to an XSD integer, we don't actually, we just made a decision last week or the week before that makes it seem like you don't do that. Like you keep things, if it's in expanded form, you keep it always. If it's in string form, you always keep it. That was Dave Longley's reading on it. Effectively, what I'm saying is there's some kind of ambiguity here that we need to resolve. I don't think we intended that to happen, but that's certainly what he read from the minutes.
I think what we said is during expansion we don't convert native types to strings. We didn't change compaction at all, as far as I remember, but I don't have the resolution here in front of me. And the other thing is, if the value that is converted to a string is in the value space of 64 bits, how do we lose precision if we convert it back to a 64-bit number?
Because it could be larger than it could be larger than that. It could be 128 bits.
Well, but we don't do that. Like with that 1.16e, we kind of restrict it to 64 bits.
Yeah, but even at the very, very, yeah. So basically what I'm saying is that there's a way that you can represent a 128-bit double in JSON using a string, such that if we did automatic double type conversion, we would lose that information.
Yeah, but if it's 180 bits, then you can't even coerce it to double because double is just 64-bit. At least it's specified as 64-bit, so you would that would be invalid
right.
data.
So you can argue it both ways. It's either invalid data or we just destroyed data that was in there by doing an automatic type conversion, by automatically assuming that it's only 64-bit precision,
we don't assume that it's specified as 64-bit.
I'm not following.
Like, if you look at the XML data type specification, the XSD double is specified as 64-bit number.
No, I see what you're saying. So you're basically saying that because it's specified as a 64-bit in the XSD namespace, then we're okay.
Yeah.
So if someone says it's an XSD double, then they mean it's a 64-bit double.
Yeah.
And if they want to use a 128-bit double, they need to do something else.
Exactly. That's my interpretation of it.
There is no existing data type for that.
Yeah, but
currently.
Then you have to mint one.
So a couple of things. The resolution for this is convert all values coerced to XSD double to strings using that syntax. Two things. One, that implies to me that if I am given a native
value, and there is a coercion for the property that uses that value to XSD double, that it must be represented using a string. This implies that any time you've got coercion, anything is coerced to string. Coerced to string. Secondly, I pasted a couple of examples in there, at least in Ruby, where 1.16e represents results in some rounding issues. 1.15 works fine for me, but it's 1.16 seems to push it over the limit.
Mm. Yeah, I see.
Craig, are you talking about expansion now or normalization, or like you said all
well,
the time?
So we say convert all values coerced to double to strings. So the two parts of that implies if I just represent 5.2, that during expansion, that would be changed into at value as a string 5.2E0 with the type XSD double, rather than just leaving the numeric value unmolested, as I thought I heard just recently. Mm-hmm. And that is odd, I think. Secondly, and in fact, previously, anything that was a Boolean or numeric or some native type was not subject to coercion. The only thing that was subject to coercion was plain strings. This resolution seems to have changed that. I'm not sure that we really intended that.
I'm not reading for whatever reason. I'm not reading the same thing from that, Greg.
Convert all values. I mean, what all values?
Coerce. Convert all values coerced to XSD double.
So if I have a coercion rule for XSD double, then any value that is subject to that coercion. So any value where the key is has a XSD double coercion rule is converted to a string. That seems unambiguous that that's what that says.
Right. So, sorry, I thought you said something different. I thought you said any value gets converted to strings.
Any values that are subject to coercion.
Anything that is subject to a coercion for XSD double. Right? That's what we're talking about?
That's what we're talking about.
Okay. I wanted
that's
to make
all
sure
this
that we were
issue
talking
about that.
Right.
That's all this resolution refers to anyway.
Sure. So you're saying that we should just basically do the detection to make sure that it's just the thing that you are translating is a number has a number decimal place an E in it.
Well,
and then if that's the case.
Firstly, I would say that the only thing this refers to are string values that are coerced to XSD double, not any value. So Boolean is not converted using that. The numeric value, anything that's expressed already as a numeric value is not changed. Only strings are changed. That would be my interpretation. Although I'm not sure that really got what we wanted with double. This might say that any string which has the lexical form of some numeric value or a numeric value or something which is a numeric value is coerced in this way. But then we're not doing that for XSD integer.
I'm wondering if these are kind of in the same class, right? Of problems. The higher level thing is we want to try and be consistent with the way that we translate XSD integer and XSD double, or the way we coerce them, right? So if we say this coercion rule to XSD double applies to anything that could be interpreted as a double, so one could argue that true could be interpreted as a double. As a 1.0 and or just a 1 and a 0, You could say that any number in JSON that doesn't have a decimal point could be interpreted as a double, right? So I guess that's one of the decisions we need to make is what happens if you have the number in JSON, you have the number 5, and it's coerced to an XSD double. What do you do in that case? And then the other one is the other issue is the one that Greg's bringing up, which is what happens if you have something that is like a string foo, and that's converted to an XSD double. What do you do in that case? And Greg's saying you leave it alone in that case. Is that right, Greg?
Yes, but I think the other thing I think it's worth considering is that we revert this to what I understood as being the previous sense, is that coercion only applies to things that are strings, that are native strings, and not to native types.
Hmm. Well, and then also things that are native strings and match the pattern for a double, right?
Yes, correct.
Right. Trying to think if that would be so. If someone were expanding, the value would be. Let's say there was an integer and it was coerced to XSD double. When they expand, the value. Let's say it's the number 5. When they expand, the value would be the number 5 in JSON, and then the type would be XSD colon double.
No, it wouldn't affect the type. It would be similar to the rule that we have that if you have something which is already in value form, then coercion does not do anything. Coercion only applies to string values. It does not apply to Boolean or numeric values.
Yeah, I'm just worried that doesn't result in a uniform result when you expand and compact. So you're going to end up having some doubles that are coerced to an integer, and then some doubles that look like an integer, like 5, and then the type's XSD double, and other doubles that are the string and then XSD double.
No, I don't think there is ambiguity, because by...
I don't mean ambiguity in that sense. I mean that the developer's code is going to have a lot of branches in it when they look for an XSD double, because they will not only have to look for the string and the type XSD double, they will have to look for an integer and then XSD double, or the value true and false and XSD double. I'm worried about,
yeah,
I'm
I
worried
just think
about it, what developers are going to have to do against expanded.
I think if you look at it from a developer's point of view, the representation in the string representation of the JSON, if the purpose of that is to basically instantiate that, say, into JavaScript, then it really doesn't matter what the representation was. It's going to be numeric. It's only that we want the JSON. We're considering that the serialized JSON have a consistent value, and that if they specified, if they used a numeric value, that we would like to see that numeric value in some normalized form. Not that it actually has a difference when it is deserialized back into an object form.
I didn't quite follow that.
Well, so if I specify true, if I have a value which is coerced to date, in my opinion, it doesn't make sense that I apply that coercion to something which is true 1 or 1.5. It only applies to if I have a string. If I have something which is an integer, I also don't think it makes sense to apply that to a Boolean. It may make sense. There is an argument that it makes sense to apply that to something which is a numeric type. And what we're saying here is that for double, I don't think it makes sense to apply to a Boolean or a string which is not in some numeric form. But I think there is an argument that you can use it for integers. But there's also an argument that you don't use it for integers, you only apply it for string, because that's the only other way that we apply coercion rules is for strings. It just seems like double is sort of a outlier in this case.
Right. Nicholas, Marcus, any input on this?
I'm thinking we have two purposes here, if I understand correctly, from a general point of view. One is that we want to preserve explicit intent. If someone has expressed something as a string in combination with the data type, they want that lexical form to be preserved. But if you want the other thing we want to do is to make things convenient for people, so that if possible we should use real JSON numbers when we have numeric types, because it's much easier to use that data. I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of echo here. Does anybody else?
I do too.
No. I'm not getting any echo. Let me mute
you
myself.
You and I use Blink. I wonder if it's some artifact of Blink.
Yeah. Well, now it's gone. Okay. During the entire time I talked, it was there, but now it's gone. So, let me recap then. Convenience. I think that I believe that I agree with Greg. I'm a bit worried that I miss some edge cases, but I believe that I think that numbers, especially when compacting, if someone has expressed something with a JSON number, it should be a JSON number after compaction, because especially in compaction, you want this as numbers, because that's the simple JSON form of things. What we know is that if someone provides a numeric type as a plain JSON number in JSON-LD, they have sort of given up control of the lexical form, because you can never know if you used 1.10 or 1.00000 or something like that. Nor can you be sure that you want 1 or 1.0 when you have just the number 1 in JSON. But you can be sure what data type you want if you use coercion explicitly. And you also know exactly what kind of lexical representation you will get from that number, because JSON-LD defines this lexical representation. So there is control there from the spec. Am I in the ballpark with this interpretation of the state of things? Does it make sense?
I think so. I think one of the things that's confusing me is I feel like we're talking about three different issues at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the issues is the API issue, whether or not we want to make conversion to primitives or coercion to primitives, JSON primitives, an option on the API. One of them is, what do we do with values that are coerced to something like an XSD double that aren't actually an XSD double, so the pattern matching for the value, right? And then the last one, I think, is what Greg's saying is, does it make sense to coerce anything that is not a string?
So there is a round-tripping issue, as Nicholas pointed out. If expansion always changes to a value form, and then in order to get back the original author's representation or something, you know, if it was a numeric, for instance, you would have to always take the value form back to native form when it is expressed in a way that allows you to do that.
And that's, that's problematic for me. I think that we're sort of interfering with author intent by doing that. The simplest thing is to not touch native types through coercion when we expand or compact. That leaves open, well, when we compact, do we take something that might have been originally expressed in value form and turn that into a native form? And for that, perhaps there is an API option that allows that to be done.
Hmm. Marcus, you're on the queue.
Sorry. Wouldn't it make sense to just specify that numbers can be coerced to either access the integer or access the double, and that round tripping is specified in a way so that they are 64-bit numbers and we don't have any round tripping issues then?
Well, I am worried about implementations. I pasted a couple of transformations I've done in Ruby using 1.16e, where 5.2 adds some noise at the end, and 5.3 actually converts down to 5.299999. And I suspect that in this case Ruby is using a standard library, and so this would be common across other implementations as well. It'd be worth you guys checking around to see if what that is.
That's the same issue that we ended up having. That's what kicked off this whole round tripping thing, many, many months ago. While what Marcus is saying should be true, when you get down to the implementations, they don't actually do that. Something strange that happens somewhere that causes the numbers to...
It could be that there is some... 1.15 works for me just fine, and that's what I ended up using in my implementation because of that fact. But that's something to be considered. If there is something that can uniformly be transformed, so as a pattern we can apply that would unambiguously determine that. Although I am concerned that if something was expressed in numeric form with too much precision, then we would have, in an implementation, would have no way to know that, because of course it can only see the numeric representation. So is there a way to, there's just not a way to know if it was expressed. I just think the whole issue of numeric types, at least double types. Potentially the same would be true for integers that were too large. That is just fraught with problems, and we're best just leaving a caveat emptor in the spec about the use of them and stay away from them, not touch their representation either on expansion or compaction.
What about normalization then?
Normalization, of course, they're going to have to be transformed into some format, and that's going to potentially lead to problems. But I don't see any way to avoid that.
But isn't that what we decided last week, that we don't touch the native types during expansion, but we just do that for normalization?
That's not how I read that. The resolution.
My reading
here
is Marcus's reading. My reading was that we were only doing that for expansion.
So if you do it for expansion, it means you also do it for everything else, because everything starts by expanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So
we've been discussing this issue for 40 minutes. I don't really feel like we have a clear grasp of all of the changes that need to be done. So rather than eat up more time on the call doing this, I think we should have a fairly in-depth offline discussion and perhaps collect every single potential issue that we see. Greg, picking up some of your conversion issues, and then also what happens for values like foo and true that are coerced to XSD double. and just coming up with every permutation that we think is problematic, and then maybe we'd have a, and then maybe even splitting these into three separate issues, and then dealing with them after that, because it's not clear to me that we have a clear set of issues one to kind of address. I mean, we do, but it's kind of it's certainly too up in the air for me to make any sense of it right now. Would that be okay if we kind of go back and try and have an offline discussion about this, or just mailing list discussion about this?
Well, it's or that we've been discussing it in the issue here, and perhaps it just requires some more people to chime in that issue, or as you suggest, split the issue up into a couple of different things.
Right. I mean, maybe Greg, if you could have a. So there are at least three things that we're discussing. I don't know where you stand on the API thing, and I don't necessarily know where Marcus stands on the round-tripping issue, and I don't really know if we have a round-tripping issue if we say that this is a 64-bit number and that's it, and if you use something that's larger than it, you're going to lose precision. So I guess my issue is that there seem to be a lot of things that are up in the air right now. And I'd also kind of want Dave Longley to weigh in on this to see, because he's actually been doing the implementation of this week.
And Dave did chime in, yes.
Right. But I think this is new information. And when we discussed this yesterday, the stuff that you're bringing up, Greg, didn't really come up. So I'm wondering if he understood exactly what you were meaning from that. Okay.
I'll create some issues and
maybe we can just have an IRC discussion. Maybe we can have an IRC discussion later on this afternoon on the JSON LD channel to try and figure out exactly all of the changes that would need to be made.
Okay. Well, maybe if we
for you, Greg?
That's fine. That's fine. I certainly don't want to waste time here, but unfortunately, a lot of our decisions have made things much more complex. My implementation has suffered, I think, quite a bit as a result of that. So
mm-hmm.
That's a higher level concern.
Yeah. Dave Longley was saying that the implementation. He's been. It got very, very complex, and he's made a couple of changes to make it simpler. For example, for framing and compaction and expansion, that he's probably going to raise as issues in the next couple of days. But that's all API stuff. It doesn't really have to do with syntax.
Right.
So that's not I feel like APIs are easier to fix than.
We need to make it clear. If people are only going to read the syntax document, they need to have some understanding of what the implications are.
Okay.
If we want to go to just try to spend a couple of minutes on the issues I raised in 87 with regards to other data types, for instance, coercion of Boolean. If something is coerced to Boolean, which is numeric, it doesn't change to a Boolean type. If something is a Boolean to start with, it's not turned into a string type, for instance, or perhaps it is uniformly. If we want to make some statements of that, or if these are just so complex that we want to try to include those in wrapped up. In some expanded issues.
Okay, so Greg, you were talking about issue 87 now, is that right?
Yeah, so my comment to 87 was similar to, based upon the implications of what we had talked about in 81, except for other types other than XSD.
Okay.
Double.
Right.
So does coercion to Boolean or integer affect things which are already in native form, or does it have an effect on strings that don't have the form, the lexical form of Boolean?
Right. So two things. I think the latter one is easier to address, right? So coercion on something, I think we could probably all agree that coercion on something that doesn't match the lexical form of a Boolean doesn't result in anything happening. It doesn't result in a conversion to a native type, right? So we don't try and interpret foo as true in that case. And the same thing with integers, and I guess doubles. So if you have a value of foo and it's supposed to be coerced to XSD integer, the expanded form of that doesn't use a native type, or expanded or compacted form of that doesn't use a native type. It just uses the value foo and then type XSD integer.
And that would be my interpretation.
I have a slight question on that.
Sure.
A minor one. I think that I would prefer to preserve data that it would result in this. I'm not sure if you agree with me. But if something which is a term which is coerced but which carries a value which is not of that coercion type should be turned into the explicit literal form with the original type expressed, so that you preserve the value that was given and make it clear that it is not coerced at all.
That would be, it's not done for any other RDF type. It's not done in Sparkle or in Turtle, for instance.
No, but it's not if you express it. I mean, if you say... if you say something in JSON LD, forget the first part of that. If you just say that, then you're sort of on your own. But if you have a context with term definitions and coercions on those, and you have data, you... Right, you wouldn't even find the term then because it doesn't match the value. I think that I might be confused here. Exactly when is this, when does this happen?
When you expand, I think. Right, Greg, let's talk about just about expansion. I think that happens when you expand. So if you had foo and then it was supposed to be coerced to an XSD integer, the expanded value is just a string, and then type is XSD integer. We don't try and interpret what foo is.
That's right, and a similar one would be for date here. If I had November 1st and I said the coerced type is XSD date, I presume that the expanded representation would not try to perform lexical matching.
Yeah. No, then I absolutely agree. I was just worried that it would somehow create compact JSON LD, which was unusable.
I think when compacting, if we are going to automatically, turn things into native types, we can only do that if the value has the lexical form of the type that is defined.
To begin with. And otherwise it wouldn't even find the term. So if I had coercion on age to integer and I had the value age Nicholas, I mean the URI property, URI of age, it wouldn't be turned to the key age anyway in compacted form because it wouldn't match.
Yeah.
The data type would be wrong. Yeah.
Okay, so
then, yeah.
Go ahead, Nicholas.
Then I'm done. I'm satisfied.
Okay, so I guess the proposal then is to say that if you're going to do automatic type coercion, the lexical form must match the data type that you are coercing to. So basically, if you're coercing to XSD integer, then the lexical form of that string must match XSD integer. It must be a string of digits. Is that right?
I think when expanding, no. If you're coercing to XSD integer, when you expand, we do not look at the value that's being expanded. We basically said FOF age, if it was written out 55, that would turn into a value representation with the string 55 in the type XSD integer. When we are compacting, we can only turn that value representation back to a numeric representation if the string is in the in the lexical form of, in this case, integer.
Right. So let's take these one at a time. Let's talk about only compaction. So when compacting and performing automatic type coercion. Let's see. When compacting and performing automatic type coercion, I guess only. How to say this? When compacting and performing.
I think it would make more sense to push that back to the mailing list and do it in a more structured way.
Sure.
We don't make any resolution in 10 minutes now, anyway. So
it's similar to the last one. So yeah.
Okay.
Let's just roll this into those issues.
Okay. All right. So I think we potentially have four issues, maybe. I don't know. So somebody might want to take an action. Greg, I think you seem to be the one that's most savvy about this particular issue. Would you mind putting together an email that tries to pull all this stuff together?
I'll give it a shot.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so that's 81 and 87. Was there anything else that we added to the agenda before we get on to reserve keywords?
Well,
10 minutes.
I actually had a question. I hope that I can take it quick. Is it okay to have a minute or two for a question?
Sure.
Great. I think that I had an action to create an issue, but my notes are a bit sketchy. So the question is, do we need to define mechanics for someone, for the case when someone defines an explicit term for RDF type? I think that this, if someone does some term definition like that, do I need to create an issue for that? Is this handled already?
That would be ignored.
The difference between at type and this kind of type is that this does two things different. It's always represented in a JSON array. Secondly, and more importantly perhaps, is that this is not coerced to ID. So if someone wanted to have references to the type in the same way as explicit references to other things, so where you want type given as an object with the ID explicit, this would be a way to want that. A use case could be that where you want to reference the type and you want the label of that specific RDF type as well, perhaps in many different languages. It seems that we should create an issue for this, right?
I think we should create an issue. I certainly don't have a clear answer to that. You could go either way on it, or I can see arguments in both ways. So.
But right now it's a bit undefined what the spec does. Or actually the spec just says that for types always use at type.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should raise this as a question at least.
Yes. Yeah. Marcus, would you mind creating an issue? Or Nicholas, either one?
I can do that.
Nicholas, because I didn't really understand what's the issue here.
Okay. Yeah. So Nicholas, if you could create an issue for that, that'd be great.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. We have 9 minutes left. I think we can get to one issue on the agenda. Issue 88, which is reserved keywords.
Yeah, and this might have been something that I introduced because of misreading of the spec. I also think that at one time anyway, Dave Longley had a test in the test suite that looked for instance, creating an alias from at IRI to at ID, which could be used for some form of a backward compatibility. Yet, we said that a term has to have the lexical form of NC name. Although we've sort of changed that because now we pretty much allow anything to be considered as a anything that's an IRI to be used like a term, for instance, in a context. Does that also include things that might look like keywords?
I think so. I don't see why we should restrict it. I think we should probably say, look, if you use an at keyword, or just if you just use at before a string, there's a possibility that in the future we may end up using that string. JSON-LD might end up using that string. So you know, it's kind of try not to do that if you don't absolutely have to. And I think people will steer clear of it. We shouldn't throw an exception, and we should probably just allow it.
Meaning that it is reasonable to, take at ID and make that an alias for at type. That'd be weird.
Think of what would happen. Yeah, and I mean, I'm wondering if we should even specify what happens in that case. Because, I mean, one way to make sure that people don't do it is to say that it's undefined. So,
or we basically do it by limiting the lexical form of a term definition within a context to be, say, the same as IRI, which then would disallow you from trying to make something that looks like a keyword into an alias. And then that would fully preserve our ability to use those keywords in the future without having to worry that someone had decided that they really preferred to use at IRI or at something else.
Yeah, but what happens when somebody wants to alias at IRI to at ID? We are preventing them from doing that.
We are preventing them from doing that in that case.
Yeah. And I don't know if we really want to do that. I don't see why. I mean, so I see the issue with what happens if they want to alias at IRI to at ID.
What if someone had aliased at graph to at ID because they preferred that form, and then we provide semantics for at graph? So for a forward compatibility consideration, if we don't reserve things that might be in the keyword space, meaning start with an at sign, then we potentially are going to create a forward compatibility issue with people that have started to use things that we have decided to provide semantics for.
Well, I mean, one way we could address that is that we should say people should not use terms that start with an at sign, but not necessarily prevent them from doing so. So should not versus must not. And just make it an authoring guideline, right? And then and let them know that if they use something with an at sign, then their document may not be forward compatible.
So a proposed resolution then might be that terms must have the lexical form of IRI, possibly beginning with an at sign.
Mm-hmm.
And
forms using something that looks like a keyword starting with an at sign are should not be used.
Yes. Yeah, I think that would be the resolution. Nicholas, Marcus, Lane, any other thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think we should make it clear in the spec that it's, well, not encouraged to do so, but we shouldn't throw an exception or something. So we just handle it like kind of a bug, but we did encourage that in the spec quite clearly. So we have to make clear that that could break at any time in the future if you do use at term.
Okay, so add a warning to the specification that terms starting with the at sign should not be used due to forward compatibility concerns. Greg, there was another bit of language that you had in there in your proposal.
Well, I'm starting to write a proposal out. Terms must have the lexical form of an IRI with the addition of at being an allowed initial character. And then authors should not create terms starting with an initial at sign.
Question that is kind of related is, do we really have to restrict the form of a term? Like, you know,
we should specify, I think we should specify what the lexical space of a term is, and restrict is basically, you know, I think we should do that. I think it's weird for a specification not to specify what the lexical space for some of these values are.
There's also an odd corner case too.
Sorry.
There's an odd corner case if you say that, say, language is a alias for at language, then it also looks like you are saying that the default language is language, because we recursively process the context, and we're going to see, language is an alias for at language, so I'm going to now interpret the language as being at language.
Well, language is not an IRI, the value of the language. That's a string. We don't do any recursion on there.
We do general recursion over the context.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you have the value of language, that's a string. You don't process it in any way, so you wouldn't expand that to something else. Right.
If I have an alias for language, it's difficult for me to determine that what the author intent is. Are they saying that language is language, or are they creating an alias that language is to be used as language?
But it has already processed that key, so it shouldn't revisit the same key. Or should it? I don't know.
I think in general it's hard to do that, because there might be a chain of aliases.
So you're talking about that I just posted on IRC?
Well, that is less ambiguous.
But it doesn't work. It's the same key twice.
Oh, sorry. That was... Yeah.
Yeah.
But I know we mentioned it before and you didn't think that we should restrict anything in the context, but I have a bit of a problem with being able to define aliases for keywords and using them in context processing. I think that might lead to very strange things in general.
Uh, I just wonder what the whole value of providing aliases for keywords is. It creates an awful lot of these potential future, you know, forward compatibility issues. And it's only because people might just not like the smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, or they have data that's already set up so that they, you know, let's say they have a whole bunch of objects that have URL or ID. So Twitter is a good example.
Right. No.
Right.
But that I absolutely want to, definitely in the data, but in the context. The context is JSON-LD specific syntax with JSON-LD specific semantics.
So we could restrict the use of aliased keywords within context processing. That would remove a lot of those ambiguities.
Yeah, and it would make it clear what a context means in any given case.
Yeah.
I think...
Because a context that was used, let's say I've had a remote context, it might have one meaning if it was used on its own, and another if it was used after some other context which redefined what its terms meant, which possibly could even be an attack vector.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least very hard to read. It would be non-deterministic almost. Not really, but it would feel like it. And given that we use the definition, implicit definition of that type as I pasted here, sort of redefines type, but it doesn't. So what does type ID? You see, it would be confusing if those things in a context definition would change meaning.
Yeah.
Although I thought we already discussed that, and the redefinition only takes place after.
Yeah. In this case, it would be safe, but it wouldn't be safe if someone redefined at ID in a context,
right,
and then in the subsequent context, it would just implode.
Yeah.
But isn't, like, in the context, can you do that currently? Because the ID, at least I think... I'm a bit confused now.
I don't know if we can. I hope that we can resolve that it shouldn't be possible to, and if it is possible, we should remove it, I think, because of simplicity. And because contexts, as mentioned, are under the governance of JSON-LD specification. I don't see any use case where someone wants to make normal JSON-looking context or something like that.
I think that's a strong point. So I mean, basically, if you're using JSON-LD, then you should at least be okay with the syntax for context. If you want to change the core of what JSON-LD is, just to define something in the context, which, by the way, doesn't exist anywhere right now, right? So if someone hates JSON-LD so much that they want to redefine all the keywords and then use that in the context, I don't think that's a use case we need to support.
Yeah, I would support restricting the use of aliases within the context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For aliased keywords, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
But absolutely not in the body. I use that a lot, so I want to keep that.
Right.
But I do have a proposal that's out there. Do we want to vote on that?
Yeah, I think we do.
Right.
I'm fine with it. Hold on. Let's go ahead and restate it just so people understand. So terms must have the lexical form of an IRI with the addition of at being an allowed initial character.
Maybe we should say term definitions.
Term definitions must have the lexical form of an IRI with the addition of that being an allowed initial character. Authors should not create terms with an initial at.
Yeah.
So what does that mean in the end? don't know, like, there's just a handful of characters which are not allowed in an IRI, right?
Well, so yes, I mean, basically it's just about any characters allowed. I forget what we can't. I mean, if these are relative IRIs, which they are, right?
They are.
Then just about anything's allowed.
Yeah.
So
but at
it's a string on a box string. Everything is allowed.
Not space.
It's not everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what's not allowed? Maybe we should define that then. I don't know out of my head what's not allowed.
Well, we should defer to the IRI spec if you're going to say IRI, or we're going to have to create an EBNF for it. IRI.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking up. And unfortunately, I think that this is it's a fairly involved.
Okay.
The blank string can also be a term, I suppose.
Yeah.
So back to my question from 15 minutes ago. Why don't we say that the term can be any string, for example?
Because we don't want space to be a term.
Why not?
No, I mean... we could... Yeah.
And we would check for those things, for example. And if we don't check for them, there's no point to kind of specifying them.
So a term is a term definition is any sequence of zero or more characters.
Yeah.
Yep.
And author should not create terms with an initial at.
Okay, so I'm fine with that. I can't think of a good counterargument to why we shouldn't just allow anything. Term definitions.
Yeah. I could imagine JSON using natural language as keys, like two words in some specific language.
Right. So term definitions.
I wouldn't encourage it.
And this is UTF-8 characters. Term definitions are a sequence of one or more UTF-8 characters. So term definitions are a sequence of one or more UTF-8 characters, full stop. Authors should not create terms with an initial at sign.
What if the document is served up with a different character set?
Not allowed in JSON. It's UTF-8.
JSON is Unicode and normally UTF-8.
Right. Okay, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But is there some restriction, like? Yeah.
Well,
but isn't there some restriction of?
The definition is just a JSON string.
A JSON term or JSON key.
A valid JSON key. Yeah.
Yeah.
Term definitions.
But that's a string. Yes. A valid JSON.
We don't
exactly.
Even have to specify that because you. Can't do anything else in valid JSON.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't use double quote without.
I think that's a valid key.
Yeah, but you have to escape it.
Oh yeah, you can't use. Yeah. Yeah.
But I guess that would be.
I think saying any valid anything which is a valid JSON key can be used as a term definition.
Yeah. That's
however,
yeah.
Key,
okay, so
terms starting with an at should not be used as they may interfere with possible keyword definitions.
Yeah.
Me create. Issues. Okay, so terms may be defined as any valid JSON key. Terms starting with an at character should not be used as they may create forward compatibility issues.
That value JSON string is enough because pairs are defined as string colon value.
Yep. So any string.
Any valid JSON string. Terms may be defined as any valid JSON string. Terms starting with an at character should not be used. Okay, so that. Oops, I accidentally started it off with result.
Apparently we agree with the resolution.
Right, I will fix that in a minute. All right, we are 12 minutes over. Thank you, everyone, for the call. We will certainly figure this out, all these corner cases. I think it's the most frustrating part of the process because we're, like, almost there, and it's just these tiny little things that are kind of hanging us up.
Who else is working on implementation on this call? I have one. DB has one.
Well,
Marcus,
I have one in JavaScript, one in Python, and one in PHP.
Okay.
And one in C++, so four.
I have one in Python also, although I haven't been able to work on it for a while.
But you're going to do a Clojure implementation?
I should, yeah.
And Marcus, I saw that you started a repository where you...
Yeah, I just started with some PHP because I had to write it as experiments in PHP. So.
Okay.
Maybe at some point I will port that to Java. I don't know yet.
Okay.
I might also have a go.
Okay. It would be good. It would be certainly good to have one more person doing an implementation, because if we can go into the RDF working group with two interoperable implementations, that would be just fantastic. It would make everything go much more smoothly.
Yeah, as long as they're not all two from Digital Bazaar. I'm working on getting mine forward, so...
Okay, good. Yeah, I mean, we wouldn't be able to pass. That just, you know, W3C process doesn't allow for one company to provide two implementations.
Right.
It works, trust us. Okay, thanks, guys, for the call, and we'll chat next week.
Okay, yep. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.